visit DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Every hockey player knows the secret to becoming a great skater is time on the ice. But rink time? It's tough to get, expensive, and so inconvenient. This winter, what if your kids could skate anytime they want, right in your own backyard? With Yard Rink, they can. In about an hour, you can transform your yard into an amazing outdoor rink. It's easy to set up and plays like a professional rink. Watch their hockey skills explode to the next level while they're having the time of their lives. Even Yard Rink ambassador Wayne Gretzky says he wishes he had a yard rink when he was a kid. Order today at yardrink.com and save hundreds by using code RADIO21. Nearly 300 sizes are available, starting at just $9.99. Plus, get two puck retention nets and your favorite NHL team logos free. That's YARDRINK.com. And save 21% by using code RADIO21. Give your kids more fun-filled ice time and help their hockey dreams come true.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dabusky. After pleading not guilty inside a federal in a mortgage fraud case, New York Attorney General Letitia James spoke outside the courthouse in Virginia.
No fear.
No fear.
No fear.
No fear.
No fear.
No fear.
Because I believe that justice will rain down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream.
Preach.
President Trump has pushed for the case against James, who successfully brought a major civil fraud case against him. The jury trial gets underway in January 2026. Meanwhile, the president is canceling trade talks with Canada after a TV ad aired by the province of Ontario featured a speech used from Ronald Reagan in 1987 criticizing tariffs as a long-term economic solution. And the House will officially be out of session again next week amid the government shutdown, scrapping votes for the fifth week in a row. This is ABC News. Russia is stepping up its attacks on major Ukrainian cities today, launching so-called glide bombs against the city of Odessa. More from ABC's Patrick Reval at the Foreign Desk.
These are very, very powerful bombs that can bring down whole buildings easily. And Russia now increasingly appears able to launch these things much deeper into Ukraine. Some also hit the city of Kharkiv today, Ukraine's second largest city. So this development is something that is being watched with a great deal of fear and concern inside Ukraine.
Russia also launching an intense rocket artillery attack into the southern city of Kherson. President Trump recently called off a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Meteorologists are keeping an eye on Tropical Storm Melissa, which is expected to strengthen into a major hurricane in the Caribbean this weekend. Experts are warning of flash flooding and landslides in parts of the Dominican Republic, Haiti, and Jamaica. I'm Mike Dabusky, ABC News.
Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Straight Talk knows the best holiday gift is simply saying yes.
Yes, you can stay up late.
Sure, more cookies.
Of course we can watch that movie again.
That's why we give you real unlimited data, so you can say yes to all of your family's streaming, scrolling, and sharing. And now at Straight Talk, get another gift worth giving. A free 5G phone with select plans. Because yes is the best gift to give.
Yes!
And receive. Available at StraightTalk.com and Walmart. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Allen, I'm Raymond Newpert. The parents of a 4-year-old West Allis boy found dead face charges in the child's death. 31-year-old Charlotte Couric and 20-year-old DeVario Cruz face multiple felony charges in Milwaukee County in the death of Dante Campbell last week. Police say Dante was found covered in bruises on his arms, back, face, and head, and that Cruz admitted to police that he had struck his son, but that he had only, quote, used his hands. Cruz is also suspected of abusing other children in the home, including Dante's twin sister. Cruz is being held on a $250,000 cash bond. Couric is held on a $100,000 cash bond. Her other children have been taken into care. Republican lawmakers again introducing legislation to allow for medical cannabis use in Wisconsin. Tomahawk State Senator Mary Felskowski says people should have access to medical marijuana to help them avoid opioids.
Someone who suffers from a serious health condition should not have to make the choice to travel to another state or break the law so that they can try an alternative medicine for relief. Unfortunately, this is the position in which we put many Wisconsinites. It is time to give our friends, family members suffering from chronic illnesses, the freedom to use medical cannabis.
Under the proposed legislation, an Office of Medical Cannabis Regulation would be created to oversee patient registries and dispensaries. Following a report by the Capital Times alleging the Wisconsin Department of Instruction mishandled investigations into alleged teacher sexual misconduct, State Superintendent Jill Underley was a no-show for a committee hearing at the Capitol Thursday. Committee Chair Representative Amanda Nedweski.
It appears to me that this critical subject was not important enough for her to even acknowledge other than a simple written response to the Cap Times article. And I guess she put out a video this morning.
Deputy State Superintendent Tom McCarthy says it's more difficult for DPI to remove teachers because grooming isn't defined under the statutes. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
Not all soils are created equal. To a farmer, that's nothing new. Different parts of your field yield differently. Advertising shares a lot of similarities. There are more choices than ever about where to put your advertising dollars. A recent survey shows farmers rely on radio for their ag news almost five times as much as social media. To use another metaphor, farm radio is the best soil for planting those seeds of advertising. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mostly sunny Friday afternoon, a light south to southeast wind at highs in the mid-50s. More clouds will gather tonight and a chance of some rain, lows in the upper 30s. Early rain Saturday, then partly sunny in mid-50s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 48.
Wider day in the markets today. Maybe everybody's getting ready for college football. I don't know. Great day for a college roadshow, don't you think?
Live from a pecan sandy Friday afternoon via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTech. This afternoon, we'll join up with Farm Journal's college roadshow on the campus of South Dakota State University with Matthew Elliott. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now filling in for Chip, the pride of Water Street, from Zahner Ag Hedge, Ted Hybrid!
All right. I hear the car in the background, although that car, I wish I knew where it was. I should have kept it, but that's not the car anymore, Davis. But I love hearing it. It sounds like a jet engine taking off, and that was fueled by E85. That is raw American muscle powered by raw American corn. I love it.
Of ethanol, if nothing else.
I do like the ethanol. Yes, I do like the ethanol a lot. It makes my cars go faster, Davis, which I like that. I mean, that's really why I like it. I also like corn, which is nice.
Don't have that particular vehicle, but did you replace it with something else? Maybe you got sick of that one, maybe didn't go quite fast enough for you, got something different going, or
it did all the things very well. That was a 2020 ZL1 Camaro, six-speed manual, and it was tuned with the 85, but also some other things, to put out 802 horsepower at the rear wheels, hence the sound of a jet engine when it was sitting on a dyno tune. That's the clip that you have. It's on a dyno tune.
Yeah.
But the thing about that, Davis, is that I had been on a wait list for a Z06 Corvette for 3 years. When my number came up finally, I had to make a decision. And I honestly didn't have anywhere to store the ZL1. So unfortunately, I had to. Plus, they actually offered me a lot of money for it. It was at the time where where cars like that in particular were still, you know, really high premiums.
Yeah.
So I ended up, you know, putting 16,000 miles on that car, but then they offered me more than I paid for it, quite a bit more. Well, so well, I had to do it, but I do miss the stick shift, right? They don't make Corvettes in manual anymore, right? Huh. So I miss that, but you know, the thing about that car is that as hard as I tried to make it into a track race car, which it was good at, it was also very front heavy, and the back wheels occasionally wanted to go faster than the front. It was a little spinny. I mean, you had to be very, very careful with it. But with the mid-engine Corvette, it doesn't have that same problem. You can break the back end loose if you really try. Yeah. But for the most part, it sticks like a go-kart. It's fantastic. All right.
That's pretty cool. Yes.
I realize I'm rambling about cars right now. But the Corvette is also tuned to run E85, and it also gets about 70 horsepower more than when it's running on 93 octane. Well, that was the point of the story there.
David. Sounds like you traded up and made a pretty penny in the process. I mean, that's just smart baseball right there.
Well, the vet wasn't cheap, so I didn't make – there's no making money in cars, Davis, but it made the trade a lot more palatable. Let's go with that.
Yeah, I can dig that. I can dig that. A quiet day unless you're a cattle future.
That's true. Yes. I guess I meant grains mostly there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, cattle, and the big news for cattle actually came after the close yesterday, and we were just feeling the effects of it today because we don't have a night session. But I have a feeling, Davis, that you've got some news for us, and we've got about a little over four minutes to do it. So why don't you hit it, bro?
I got a little. An overall negative tone underpinned market action today, although HRW futures did manage to eke out mild gains by the end of the session. World Weather Inc. reported key wheat growing areas will receive much needed soil moisture over the next few days, limiting some bullish enthusiasm. December SRW futures popped above resistance at the 40-day moving average, but settled back below that level to close mid-range initial support, now around 509. Dece HRW wheat futures today 1¼ cents higher at 501.5. December soft red wheat down a half cent, 512.5. December spring wheat closed at 557 today. That's down a penny on the day. And Ted, let me take a look at these weekly closes on the week. December hard red winter wheat futures up a dime. December soft red up 8¾. So overall, we're net positive on the week here on the wheats.
Yeah, you're not kidding. I mean, yeah, did close down a half a cent there on Friday. So, I mean, just kind of, you know, whatever. But I think wheat quietly had the best. Well, maybe not the best. It was a pretty good week across the board. But wheat had a really good week, closing above some major resistance levels for the first time really since July. I mean, that's kind of nice. So, I don't know. Watch out for that wheat. Something might be brewing there. We've said that many times before in the past, Davis, so take it with a grain of salt. But wheat had an interesting look.
Wheat. Yeah.
Yeah, wheat will wheat. There you go.
Well, Ted, corn futures corrected lower in today's trade after a string of higher closes. The corn market was under the shadow of President Trump's fresh trade fracas with Canada. All told, corn futures settled right on key moving averages by the end of the day session. 4¾ lower at 4.23¼. March corn down 4¼ cents to 4.37. May corn futures closed at 4.45¾, down 3.5 cents. And on the week, not too shabby, up 7.5 cents all told.
Yeah, look, in the middle of harvest, right? In the middle of a USDA government shutdown. That's a pretty good week for corn. And not shocking to see some hedge pressure coming in on a Friday and some profit taking coming in from the speculators after a bigger up week that we just had. So, that was not bad. And corn still closed above that 100-day moving average at 420.5. Still a really good look.
Well, soybean futures were lower today amid mixed price action between soy oil and meal. Pressure limited by renewed optimism as discussions between U.S. and Chinese negotiators are reportedly headed in a positive direction. November beans ended the day just above support at 10:41. Novi beans 3 cents lower on the day, 10:41¾. Jan beans down 1¾ cents to 10:60. And beans closed at 10:73½. That's down 1¾ on the day. This week, November beans up, if my math is right, 22¼ cents all told since last Friday's close, Ted.
Yeah, and that's why I started to say, but then kind of pulled it back on the wheat having being the winner of the week. It was soybeans, and that's for sure. And this is all happening when, you know, yes, there's a lot of optimism about the meeting that's going to happen in a week. And the market, I believe, is just very convinced that some positive thing is going to come from that. Otherwise, man, it's really tough to justify the prices that we're at. I know we don't love the prices that we're at right now, especially with input costs and everything like that. But, man, with no purchases by China that we know of, at least yet, it's really hard to say that, you know, beans shouldn't be maybe a dollar lower. That's my opinion. I don't know. And maybe if there isn't some big splashy announcement that comes from the meeting that we get, or the meeting that's going to happen, at least right now, is on track to happen, I guess Thursday and Friday of next week, then maybe the market does start to realize that. I don't know. Yeah. But, I mean, all things considered, pretty darn good week for the soybeans. We'll see if it carries over to next week or not. I mean, I don't know.
Well, December cotton today gained 9 points to 64.20 on the week, down 8 points over to the livestock's Dease fat cattle, $7.25 lower, 233.92 and a half. Novi feeders also down the daily limit, off $9.25 again to close at 352.20. And here we are over at the December lean hogs, 12 and a half cents higher at 81.90. AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. From farmer's first pass in the field to the final pass at harvest, it's a game plan rooted in faith and belief. See why at BexHybrids.com.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At Bex, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. Bex honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, and every season.
Now more than ever, it's crucial to manage risk and receive assistance with marketing. And why not meet in a fun atmosphere with other ag professionals for it? We invite you to head on over to Nashville, Tennessee for the annual AgMarket.net Farming for Profit Not Price Conference. The general session for farmers, producers, ranchers, and even commercials, February 1st through the 2nd at the Renaissance Nashville Hotel. To register, head to AgMarket.net. Click on the banner ad at the top of our website or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Hey, Jim.
Bob.
Quite a season, huh?
Yeah, there was a lot stacked against us, but that's where having a solid plan and, you know, data-driven insights instead of just guessing really made the difference.
Yeah.
Looked at soil types and other research to make sure every acre had the right seed to maximize ROI potential.
That's great. I was referring to the Greyhounds being undefeated.
Oh. Cropland Seed. Anything but typical.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert. I'm from Zahner Ag Hedge, filling in for Chip Flory here on a Friday. It is a College Roadshow Friday, and woohoo! We're going to be talking to Matt Elliott, Associate Professor of SDSU. We'd love to hear a bit more about what's going on over at SDSU, and we're going to talk some markets because, you know, this is AgriTalk, and, well, we like to talk markets. I like to talk markets. I also like to talk about cars, so if Matt wants to talk about cars, we can do that too. But we kind of covered that in the first segment, so in this segment, let's bring in Matt Elliott. Matt, how's it going today, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's Friday. It's been a long week. I mean, I don't know about you, but, man, it's just... You lose government reports, which I'll ask you about that in a moment. But then you have this headline chasing thing, which sends markets all over the place, I guess. it's been kind of wild. But before we get into markets, you're an associate professor and an extension agribusiness specialist at NDSU, Ness School of Management and Economics. Why don't you tell us a bit more about the program and what you guys got going on there?
Yeah, so at South Dakota State, we have the Ness School of Management and Economics. So our school covers quite a bit. We do everything from ag business to econ to business econ to accounting. So we cover a large gambit, and a certain large contingent of our students are from agriculture backgrounds. They're seeking opportunities and jobs in the agriculture risk management space. And so, we do a lot of focusing on commodity risk management. We have an e-trading lab here at the university and the school. So students have hands-on experience learning about the Bloomberg terminal, using all that vast amount of, cash basis data, futures data, historically speaking. Just a lot of the tools that are available with the Bloomberg terminal in order to do some live trading, simulated trading. And we do actually have our own, trading fund. So students propose trades, actually execute them, see how they perform and different things. So it gives them a very hands-on experience for developing the skill sets that they need to manage risk in the future.
That's really awesome. And by the way, I have been in recent years, actually, maybe the last time I was there was in 22, but I did help guest lecture some classes in 2018. I saw a lot of the facilities that you're talking about. It is an awesome place. It's an awesome campus. I am a big fan of SDSU. So yeah, you guys are doing a great job over there. you mentioned when we were talking before, that you guys got some research and commercial products that you're developing. Would you like to talk a bit more about that?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. So, over my tenure here at South Dakota State University, I was previously a manager on family farm, been around agriculture my whole life. And so one of the big things as I was going through graduate school and managing our own farm was, just how difficult it is really to manage risk for a producer that's engaged in, the daily activities of harvesting, keeping employees in the right positions and doing the right things. And so there's, a lot of times marketing gets, put on the wayside, but it really can't because there's so much risk at stake for producers day in, day out. And so, through, just development and coding algorithm systems, real-time market data over the decade, I've started here at SDSU, we started building applications in order to actually help producers take their precision ag data, that highly rich yield information, the highly rich satellite information that we're receiving all the time, all the weather data, and start making real-time in-season estimates about what their productions are, given their plans, given the seeding rate they put out there, if we're seeing spots or something where they're not going to get yield because of drown out or preventive planting or something like that, and start, putting a real-time estimation to what production is, what's your basis risk given your regional location and where you deliver to, what's your futures risk, managing and monitoring that in real time. So you go, okay, I'm exposed to $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 of market risk every day, given my corn soybean rotation and some cattle or hogs I might have on hand. And so that's part, the first part of the battle, I think, for producers is just managing and monitoring the risk, knowing what it is. How much can I lose every day the market is trading? And I put these hedges on. So a lot of producers put some very exotic hedges on, like, you know, different option ladders and accumulators or different things like that. And they don't really know what that hedge or that risk reduction is. And so then we quantify that. We go, this is where you would be, no hedging. This is where you would be reduced hedging, or, you know, what your risk is reduced with the hedging, with complicated ones or simple ones or whatnot. But, you know, where we're really going with this is trying to get more to be like a managed money fund going. It's not really, you know, should we just be hedging outright, mm-hmm. trying to reduce risk? We should try to be maximizing returns relative to the risk. How much risk do you really want to tolerate? And so, you know, there's a lot of opportunities in the marketplace. The managed money is shorting soybeans and shorting corn right now, and they're putting all their investment, a lot of it, into gold and natural gas. Well, producers can do the same type of thing, and they can earn better returns relative to the risk that they're accepting doing the same types of concepts that managed money does. And so that's where we're really trying to go with some of the products and things that we're coming out with on a commercial scale here.
Yeah, very cool, Matt. I mean, I guess in a time frame where we, you know, we look at cash prices and we look at input costs and we say, wow, it's hard to make ends meet at this point. It's always great to find ways to add pennies to bushels, you know, exotic investment strategies, you know, doing more than just the traditional risk management. I got to say, from what I do for a living, I see that and I try to employ that really every day. So I'm all for it. Everything you just said, I think that's fantastic. My question before we get into more of the market talk, what's the number one thing you want your students to learn? And whether it's your classroom students or your producers that utilize the extension?
Yeah, I mean, you know, number one, I teach commodity marketing, so we do technical analysis first, and then we do fundamental analysis, understanding supply, demand, and what our price expectations are, or reversing that and going, okay, the market's trading this. What does that mean for what the market thinks is the supply-demand situation out there? So we cover, you know, technicals, fundamentals, and then we get into basis and start thinking about delivery economics. You know, does it make sense from an arbitrage standpoint for an elevator to be bidding that? I mean, they have to be able to turn, you know, physical grain into some kind of profit or at least break even by delivering to processing or export terminals. So they need to understand that concept. Then we get into more of this other stuff about, you know, what's your portfolio risk? How could you optimize that? And that branches not only just commodity marketing, but it branches out to if you diversified operation with livestock and grains, you know, that balances some of that risk and helps stabilize returns. But also if you're just in an investment portfolio, you know, you're looking at what's my mix of bonds and stocks I should be invested in, and what portion of commodities should I have in my Edward Jones account, for example, as a retiree. So we branch all those subjects, and that's kind of my learning outcomes of the courses I teach. I want students to understand, and certainly producers, that it applies to them as well.
So, Matt, I have to ask, do you guys have like a 401 level class that is understanding global geopolitical risk and, you know, term tweet market risk? I mean, how do you address stuff like that in classroom these days? Because that certainly wasn't something that I learned when I was in these same sort of classes back at Western Illinois University. But I wish I had. I mean, because this is what we're doing every day now.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, the whipsaw from the political environment right now in the last, well, even the last 4 to 8 years has been substantial, right? I mean, we've seen a lot of policy-driven changes to supply and demand, whether we're talking about sustainable aviation fuel and tax credits and building crush capacity, or we're talking about, you know, tariffs and quasi-embargoes from, you know, certain countries that we rely on for our exports. I mean, but the whole thing, all of those things that were less or more muted, you know, 10 years ago are certainly been more part of the storyline and causing very deviations from what we would expect when we're looking at, you know, what how the market would have handled this maybe 5-10 years ago. And so, it's a very important point. But then at the same time, we also get to see, look how the market reacts to this event that would have this kind of supply-demand situation. So it gives us some very good, data, I guess you could say, on what we can expect when we start to see some of these, things that we haven't seen before.
Awesome, Matt. Well, great conversation with Matt Elliott from SDSU. When we come back, we're going to get a little bit more into the current events of what's happening and what's driving the market. So everybody, come on back to AgriTalk.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At BEX, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. BEX honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, and every season.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. Where December HRW wheat futures were 1.25 cents higher at 501.5. December soft red wheat down 0.5 cents to 512.5. December corn futures 4.75 cents lower, 423.25. March corn down 4.25 cents to 437. November soybeans 3 cents lower, 10.41¾. March beans close at 10.73½, down 1¾ cents on the day. December cotton today up 9 points to 64.20. To the livestocks, Dease fat cattle 7.25 lower, 233.92½. Novi feeders down 9.25, 352.20. And December lean hog futures were 12.5 cents higher at 81.90. Get more, visit tryprofarmer.com.
Do it.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Farmers, it's harvest time, and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mostly sunny Friday afternoon, a light south to southeast wind at highs in the mid-50s. More clouds will gather tonight and a chance of some rain, lows in the upper 30s. Early rain Saturday, then partly sunny in mid-50s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpa'sbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 48.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert. I'm from Zaner Edge, and I'm filling in for Chip Flory on this Friday. It is a College Roadshow Friday, and we're having some fun with it, talking to Matt Elliott, associate professor at SDSU. We got to talk a lot about the SDSU program and what Matt is teaching everybody over there. I think there's some wonderful things going on. I'm a fan of SDSU. I'm a fan of a lot of the ag colleges. By the way, it's been my pleasure to guest lecture some classes at some of these schools, and I just love that we're helping educate the next generation and through the extension the current generation, which is awesome. Really, really good stuff. Now, what I'd like to do here, since we have some time and since we've got Matt, let's pick his brain on the markets and what we're looking at, you know, from a bigger picture, because there is a lot to talk about, as you know. So, Matt, you know, my first question for you, and to kind of tie it into how we left off the last segment, you know, we were talking about, you know, geopolitical risk and, you know, sort of these outside factors affecting the markets, you know, which we certainly have a lot of right now. And we'll get to that in a second. But our traditional inputs that we have for the markets, you know, things like yield and production and weekly export sales. These are all things that, you know, whether we love it or not, we generally consume this data through the USDA, which is currently shut down. So we have a lack of anything happening from published reports. You could argue that the cash market knows all, and that's what we should be reading into. And though I'm not going to argue against that. But in your opinion, the lack of the USDA being around, the lack of these government reports, you know, weekly export sales, crop progress, you know, how far are we on harvest, the October WASDE report, what is the USDA using for their yield estimates right now? What are they seeing on the demand side of the equation? You know, we've lost all these numbers for the time being. Do you think that's a good thing for the markets, a bad thing for the markets? Do you think we're finding these numbers a different way? What are your thoughts?
Well, certainly, I think that, you know, the market can operate without the government reports. It did before. You know, we've had enhancements over the years. I mean, the great grain robbery back in the 1970s, you know, before that, you know, that some of the changes that WASDE and certain things, you know, caused that, from that event. I mean, you know, certainly there's some concerns. I think that, you know, without government information, you know, we don't want to experience another where private businesses or the exporters have better information on maybe how much is being shipped out. Now we can maybe, you know, start to see that by seeing, you know, strengthening bids at the export terminals or, you know, different things like that. But certainly, you know, we worry about information asymmetry between, you know, whether the big exporting firms or the processing firms and the producers, that we want to have a balanced, transparent marketplace on information. So nobody really gets an advantage from that necessarily. I think, you know, over 30, 60 day period, 90 day period, I'm not too concerned about not having that information. I think the market, you know, is kind of in line. You know, on corn, for example, I mean, where the price is trading is basically where we would expect a price to be trading with a 13% in need stocks to use, which is currently what WASDE was last time we had a report. As for soybeans, you know, the soybean price right now is trading below what the USDA, the 6.9%. A lot of that is because I think WASDE under September report still has a pretty inflated export number, right? If we don't get Chinese purchases, it's going to be very challenging to meet that current export number on the last WASDE report. And so, you know, I think that all of that comes into play. The market's handling this fine. We have a lot more information on production side with satellite imagery and different things. I mean, private forecasters doing their own yield surveys. We had the crop tour that a lot of you guys are involved with, where you do the yield estimates and things like that. So we have a fairly good number on that. Always the January reports is kind of the one that kind of surprises. It's like when everybody kind of finally tallies up, and then we get, the USDA kind of comes up with some whoppers like they did last year on the final yield estimate. That can kind of surprise the market. But, I think that right now it's not a necessity to have USDA information all the time. I think the markets can handle it just well. The longer this carries on, I do worry about information asymmetry across the different trading types out there. So that is a concern. But certainly I think there's I'm not too worried about it right now.
Well, to your point, Matt, a lot of the government programs were created after the Great Grain Robbery in order to kind of protect us from something like that happening again. And one of those things was export inspections, which we still have. So if there was going to be a Great Grain Robbery, we might not be able to stop the sales from happening, but we would be able to see it on inspections, right, and eventually catch on to that and then look at the sales on the books and maybe do something about that. I don't know. But either way, we do still have export inspections. I think it's kind of weird for this time of year to not have the USDA updating yields. But there's definitely people that would argue that let the market figure it out itself. Let's not hear the USDA's input on that, at least not until January. So, we're doing a test trial. Maybe this is a good thing. You mentioned the soybean export number. I do wonder what the USDA would do with that at this point, given that it's now almost 2 months since the last time they put together a report. They last did at 1.685 billion bushel for their export number. That was actually down 30 million from what they had in August. If you're the USDA, Matt, where are you putting that export figure right now?
Yeah, right now where soybeans are trading, what that would imply using historical data is more like a 10% stock ending stocks to use. So that's about 150 million bushels. I think to me, the market is implying that all 150 is basically coming off exports. So if I was going to peg it, I given where the market's trading right now, I think the market's thinking about a 15-10 number, something like that, 15-20. That's where I would put it, just as an academic looking at it, and given what the market's telling me.
Okay. I'm going to throw my 2 cents in there, too, because I do this as well. I've got yield coming, which we'll get to in just a second, because I really want to know what you think about yields. I've got yield down 1.8 bushel an acre. 1.7 bushel an acre to a 51.8. And I'm taking 250 million bushels off of exports to put us at 1.435. That puts us exactly at that 10% stocks to usage ratio, which, again, I think is, like you said, reflective of the prices we have. So we're at the same spot from the stocks to usage standpoint. It's just a matter of how you get there. In mine, we're talking about yields. So I think let's start from the state level. I don't know who better to ask about South Dakota yields than yourself. For soybeans, the last time we saw a USDA update, they had South Dakota soybeans at 47 bushel per acre versus in 2024, it was at 43. The five-year average is 42. And the record from 2016 is at 49.5. Now that we've moved through harvest, this USDA, that was their data from beginning of September. Now we sit here on October 24th and knowing more about it and hearing what you're hearing from harvest, how do you think we are compared to the U.S.? How do you think the reality is compared to where the USDA was?
Well, I think certainly all the signals and what we're hearing and the weather we had, we're having good yields, across the board. We're on the Western Fringe, so we have a lot of different types of things. And we a lot of times we have very wet springs, so we get more prevent plant that I just don't think, we had a very pretty good spring. We had a very good growing season. So I think both on corn and soybeans, yields are going to be up in this region. And this has kind of been a double the problem. So not only are South Dakota and North Dakota producers getting hit on the futures market because of lack of exports, but we're really getting hit on cash basis because we rely on that P&W export corridor to Asian markets and where we're not, we have the quasi embargo on soybeans especially. And so we're seeing very, pretty weak soybean basis. You know, Aberdeen here last week was minus $1.15, but now they're up to minus $1.05 underneath the market. So, you know, and that we're typically with this kind of a supply demand situation nationally, we'd be probably more in the minus 60 to minus 80 cents on soybeans right now. You know, but we're a whole 40 cents below that at least, because of that lack of PNW export market. And then also on top of this, you know, pretty large local supply. And so I think that kind of raises some problems, you know, and concerns for especially our region. You know, how can we, you know, consume or get rid of some of those supplies, really need that export market to pick up and start moving some of these supplies out of here from a regional standpoint to help strengthen basis.
Awesome. You knocked my basis question out there real quick, and that's fantastic. So with about 30 seconds left, I just want to hear your thoughts on the national average yields. Again, the USDA's last report on beans was at 53.5. And then for corn, 186.4, I believe. Where do you think? Where would you be today on those?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, the yields always seem to come down a little bit from their August numbers. I mean, my tendency. I mean, I would think maybe we might come a little bit off those, but I think for overall, we've had a very good growing season. I wouldn't be surprised to see some pretty record yields across the board, you know, but acreage was pretty high. So it'll be interesting to see if we do end up with that acreage at the end of the day or not.
Awesome. 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 Matt, thank you so much for everything. You've been a great guest, and everybody come on back to AgriTalk.
Thank you. Thanks.
Hey, at Total Wine & More, you'll love what you find this Halloween.
Me thirsty.
Oh, hey, Frankenstein. Did you enjoy that Cabernet?
Oh, good. Want margarita?
Well, all the villagers are raving about this tequila.
Ooh.
And we have it at the lowest price in town.
Economical.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Remember when they used to ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? At Bank of America, we ask every day, what would you like the power to do? When you work here, you help build businesses, inspire communities, and forge legacies. And now we've raised our U.S. minimum wage to $25 an hour. So the opportunity to do more also comes with competitive pay. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/25. Bank of America, proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
If you're one of the millions of Americans behind on your taxes, if you're afraid to open your mail because IRS collection letters could be coming, listen carefully. The IRS is cracking down, taking paychecks, freezing bank accounts, revoking passports. That's a fact. But here's what most people don't know. There are official tax relief programs designed to help struggling taxpayers. Programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Optima's award-winning team will fight to protect your paycheck, your passport, and your property. Their tax attorneys and licensed tax professionals will work tirelessly to get you the best deal possible with the IRS. Every day, penalties and interest keep piling up, so don't wait. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At Bex, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. Bex honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now. In every decision and every season.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. From farmers' first pass in the field to the final pass at harvest, it's a game plan rooted in faith and belief. See why at BexHybrids.com. AgriTalk, everybody. Glad you're along with us here on this Friday afternoon. Ted Seifried. Great conversation there, Ted. I do want to hit some of the high points and see what stuck out to you, although I do feel with a dual limit down performances here, we should at least discuss cattle a little bit. We were a little tight on time in the news seg, so I'm just going to burn down this paragraph here. The cattle complex sharply lower today on technical selling amid the row between the president and cattle producers. Additionally, Mexico's ag minister will travel to Washington, D.C. next week with the aim of reaching an agreement on the reopening of the border to Mexican cattle. To the good, I mean, the fundamentals are still holding up. Wholesale beef prices firmed. All indications point to higher cash trade this week, be that as it may. Having said that, December live cattle, $7.25 lower today, $233.92.5. The Feb contract, same deal, down $7.25 to $233.42.5. Novi feeders down $9.25 to close at $352.20. And just so nobody feels left out, let's go over to the piggies. Lean hog futures narrowly mixed as futures remain at a discount to the cash index. Pork product prices were slightly lower, although movement was good. Deese hogs 12.5 higher, 81.90. Feb hogs slipped to nickel, 84.30. Seems like that might be a nightclub in Chicago. The slippery nickel. Is that a is that a spot? Ted,
oh, you said nickel. I'm glad you said nickel. Yeah.
Well, steering us back into the livestocks. All told this week, I mean, the December fat cattle were down $7.90. We can say most of that was lost today. November feeders down almost $20 on the week from Friday to Friday, down $19.50. And the Deese hogs, I mean, this one makes a ton of sense to me and actually feels like the hogs held in. Down 47.5 cents all told on the week. Now we've got lots to talk about here. There's been all week we've been chronicling the back and forth between cattle producers and President Trump, who wants the price of cattle. He wants the price of beef. I don't know if cattle is necessarily on his radar when he talks beef, but he wants the price of beef to come down. And now. Yeah. I mean, one of the contributing factors is the closure of the southern border. I mean, was it It was earlier this spring. I'm spacing on when exactly the border was shut down due to concerns over New World screwworm. But we've got the Mexican ag minister coming to D.C. This next week to look for some kind of agreement to maybe reopen the border to Mexican cattle. Ted, let me just toss all of that at you. Have fun with that, brother.
Yeah, thank you.
What do you got?
And it has been shut down and reopened and shut down again. So, it has been a bit of an on and off thing. Right now, it is certainly off. And that is, I would say, one of the main contributing, but not the only contributing factor as to why we are not able to rebuild our herd. The other thing is high prices and not being able to or not wanting to hold back heifers for breeding. And there's been talk about that this week, too, as far as basically paying ranchers in order to hold back cattle for breeding. So there's a lot of different initiatives being talked about right now. It has become a very big focus of the Trump administration, and it's really all come to fruition here this week. And that is really what's been spooking the cattle markets so much. Mm-hmm. But it's the futures markets, because we trade futures, not today's. We're talking about things that are solutions in the future. None of this is a solution for today. So as you said, box beef prices holding up very well, cash cattle holding up very well for the moment, because that's the here and now. The market's focused on what this might mean for the future. And the announcement of 80,000 metric tons coming from Argentina, I got to say, Davis, that's nothing, right? I mean, last year we brought in a little over 33,000 metric tons from Argentina. So, you know, mm-hmm. we're talking 47,000. Could be more than that. I don't think it will be that much more, but even so, 47,000 metric tons, that's a day and a half of production. That's not a huge thing. The huge thing is that it's become very obvious that this administration wants to tackle this. And when they get something, when Trump gets something in his mind, he is pretty relentless about it. So other things could be coming. That's what spooked the market. In the middle of the week, you know, Wednesday, we try to recover on Thursday with the idea that 80,000 metric tons is not enough to fix any problem. Right. But then by the end of the day on Thursday, feeders were back down again on the idea that, oh, there might be more to come. And then lo and behold, after the close on Thursday, yes, the announcement that Mexican Minister of Agriculture is coming to Washington this coming week to talk with Secretary Rollins, who hopefully is going to be on the show next week, guys. Woohoo.
We'll see.
But that, you know, if that border reopens, that is a big step in the direction of rebuilding the herd. Now, it also poses a major risk for our cattle herd, and I'm not sure that's the right thing to do. But we'll see what happens with that. And again, you know, this is the biggest break that we've seen in feeder cattle. Take that Jan feeder cattle contract, for example. This is the biggest break that we've seen since the inception of that contract, meaning since that Jan 26 contract started trading, the start trade date. This is the biggest correction that we've seen in that contract. That's wild to say that. It's not usually how markets work. But this has just been a situation where the supply side just hasn't. High prices have not been the cure for high prices in this case, Davis. Yeah. And it's because of that closure with the border and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, a lot going on there. I know we took a lot of time there on the livestock, but there was a lot to be said. So I'm glad you brought it up. Yep.
I will say, Matthew Elliott, South Dakota State University, dude's got it squared away. Just give me 20 seconds of high points from the conversation. You got anything off the top of your head?
Yeah, I thought his thoughts on the government shutdown and whether that affects the markets are interesting. I think a lot of people think that maybe it's a good thing for the markets. And I think it's positive for prices for the time being, because we kind of brushed that 207 million bushels that we found on old crop corn under the rug for the moment. And it's just kind of left to its own devices. Basis to indicate exports, that I think is a very interesting concept. There was something that happened this week where that basis for soybeans really went wild, indicating there might have been a big purchase in there midweek. We'll see what happens with that. So, yeah, lots going on there. Good stuff.
Six to 10-day temperature outlook quickly. Hot west of the Corn Belt. Cold east of the Corn Belt. Near normal, straight through the gut slot of the belt. It's going to be dry over the Corn Belt. Ted Seifert, take us home, baby.
Hey, thanks for having me, everybody. Thanks for listening to AgriTalk. I always enjoy doing it, and have a fun time. You guys have a wonderful weekend, and come on back to AgriTalk on Monday.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At BEX, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. BEX honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, in every season.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubosky. An Ontario political ad that President Trump cited as a reason for calling off trade negotiations with Canada will now be pulled off the air, according to